We've all been told to believe in ourselves and stay positive. But what if this ubiquitous advice is fundamentally wrong? Don Moore's groundbreaking research reveals that confidence isn't something to maximize, it's something to calibrate. While Tony Robbins preaches unwavering self-belief, Moore shows that the most successful people aren't the most confident, they're the most accurately confident. This distinction explains why the surgeon who doubts herself when appropriate saves more lives than the one who never questions her abilities. It's why the investor who acknowledges uncertainty outperforms the one convinced they can beat the market. The path to success isn't blind optimism. It's having the intellectual honesty to recognize what you know, what you don't, and the wisdom to tell the difference. Confidence manifests in three distinct psychological phenomena. First, estimation confidence reflects how good we think we are at something, explaining why 93% of American drivers rate themselves above average, a mathematical impossibility. Second, placement confidence concerns how we compare to others. We overplace ourselves on common skills like driving, but underplace on rare ones like juggling. Third, and most insidious, precision confidence measures how certain we are about what we know. When asked for ranges that should contain correct answers with 90% confidence, most people's ranges include the truth only 50% of the time. These distinctions explain why someone can be simultaneously overconfident and underconfident. The brilliant engineer who understands complex systems but doubts her social abilities, or the charismatic leader who overestimates strategic thinking while underestimating interpersonal impact. Both demonstrate how these confidence types operate independently. Understanding these dimensions helps us identify where our confidence needs recalibration. The 2008 financial crisis exemplifies overconfidence in action. Investors purchased mortgage-backed securities with excessive certainty about their value, while risk models failed to account for novel loan types. Investors remained certain default rates would stay below 5% based on historical data. But when defaults exceeded 50% in some portfolios, the system collapsed. Many insiders recognized the unsustainability yet continued participating, believing they were smarter than others and would exit before the crash. This classic overplacement illustrates how overconfidence persists even when warning signs appear. This pattern extends to everyday decisions. Students asked to estimate time for building a Lego model typically predict 10 to 15 minutes, but require 25-30. This planning fallacy stems from envisioning ideal scenarios rather than considering potential complications. Perhaps most concerning is how overconfidence fuels conflict. When we're excessively certain we're right, we interpret disagreement as stupidity rather than a different perspective worth considering. Most of us simplify probability into just three categories: definitely will happen, definitely won't happen, and who knows? This explains why college students in one study estimated their risk of HIV infection from a single encounter with an HIV-positive partner at 50%, when the actual risk is below 0.1%. A superior approach is using probability distributions, which forces broader thinking about possible outcomes. Instead of asking, "Will this product succeed?" inviting a yes-no answer, ask, "What's the distribution of possible outcomes?" This compels consideration of both spectacular success and dismal failure scenarios, along with their probabilities. This approach transforms personal decisions too. When deciding whether to read a colleague's paper by a deadline, creating a probability distribution of completion times allows honest communication of uncertainty. Thinking in distributions helps us make better decisions by acknowledging the full range of possibilities rather than clinging to false certainty. Entrepreneurs challenge rational confidence calibration. Studies show 81% rate their success chances at 710 or higher, with one-third claiming absolute certainty. The reality? Nearly 80% of new businesses fail within 5 years, and entrepreneurship typically has negative expected value when accounting for opportunity costs. This creates the entrepreneur's dilemma. While entrepreneurship drives innovation and economic growth for society, it resembles a lottery for individuals. When entrepreneurs overestimate their chances, twice as many enter markets than is optimal, effectively halving the expected value for all participants. Jerry Yang of Yahoo exemplifies both the power and peril of entrepreneurial optimism. Rising from knowing only one English word as a Taiwanese immigrant to becoming Chief Yahoo, Yang built an early internet success story. However, his optimism became hubris when he rejected Microsoft's $44.6 billion offer in 2008, insisting Yahoo was positioned for accelerated financial growth. This proved catastrophic. Yahoo's core business eventually sold for just $4.83 billion, less than 11% of Microsoft's original offer. The solution isn't abandoning entrepreneurship, but adopting a portfolio approach. Serial entrepreneurs who launch multiple ventures increase their chances of eventual success, while limiting damage from any single failure. Studies show they have 30% higher success rates on their second venture and 40% higher on their third. Commercial aviation maintains an impressive safety record, just 0.17 fatal accidents per million flights, by institutionalizing failure analysis through rigorous accident investigations. Organizations beyond aviation can adopt this approach through post-mortem analyses of failures. Even more effective is Gary Klein's pre-mortem analysis, imagining a project has already failed catastrophically and identifying all possible causes. This technique surfaces concerns that might otherwise remain hidden due to politics or optimism bias. In one case, a billion-dollar sustainability project benefited when an executive identified the critical risk of CEO retirement before completion, something traditional risk assessments had missed. Though seemingly at odds with optimistic organizational cultures, pre-mortems create psychological safety for team members to voice concerns without appearing negative. As General George Patton advised, gather all fears before making important decisions, then proceed without them. The California High-Speed Rail project illustrates the cost of inadequate risk assessment. Initially projected in 2000 to cost $25 billion with completion by 2016, by 2019 estimates reached $77.3 billion with completion delayed to 2033, forcing dramatic scaling back. A thorough pre-mortem could have identified geological challenges, land acquisition issues, and political complications earlier. Alex Honnold completed what may be the most stupendous athletic achievement ever, free soloing El Capitan, a 3,000-foot granite monolith, without safety equipment. Rather than boundless confidence, Honnold emphasizes well-calibrated confidence. It's not enough to think that you can. You have to absolutely know on a physical and rational level that the free solo you're attempting is well within your abilities. Like Honnold, we all need calibrated confidence daily. Both overconfidence and underconfidence are hazardous. Overconfident climbers attempt challenges beyond their abilities, while underconfident ones waste energy by clinging too tightly. Wisdom lies between these extremes, accepting truth about our capabilities. This middle way appears across philosophical traditions. Socrates advised choosing the mean and avoiding extremes. Aristotle described the golden mean. Buddhist teachings emphasize the middle path. Perfect confidence isn't unwavering self-belief or crippling doubt. It's intellectual honesty. It means believing what's true, not what feels good. This requires courage to resist wishful thinking and humility to acknowledge limitations. Though perfection remains unattainable, striving for this balance brings us closer to confidence perfectly aligned with reality.